All right, brethren. Well, I'm really excited to bring our morning speaker up, Benoy Thomas. We know him. And if you don't, doing the work of the Lord in India, and an energetic, enthusiastic guy, and that's coming from a place of genuine, sincere spirit, his love for the Lord and his willingness to share the word of the Lord and to live the word of the Lord. So thank you so much for all the work you've been doing here in the States and for you being willing to exhort us a few times. So go ahead and bring him on up, Benoy Thomas from India.
Jared and Roger did an excellent job. You guys are blessed. Oh, man. That was some good exhortation and stewardship, and the Lord's Supper message was fantastic. Oh, I loved it. Good job, guys. That was great encouragement to my family, especially just listening to you guys is a live is a blessing, you know. In India, we get to see you guys just through the, you know, online. But it is a joy to be here, and it has been a blessing to be able to have fellowship during the family camps and Spanish Peaks. What a joy that has been. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. Nolan was teaching the Wednesday night class through Isaiah, and this scripture has been one of my favorite, and so I thought I'd start off with this morning. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we are grateful to you for this beautiful, glorious day. What a privilege and honor that we are your sons and daughters, and we get to partake of this royal meal together, partake of the Lord's Supper, and just be reminded of our identity. Lord, you have broken the sins, the bondage we were in, and set us free. Thank you, Father, for the hope we have. Thank you for the scriptures, the example of Christ and his purpose and his how he lived life on this earth, Father. Pray that the words that I bring this morning will be to your glory and your honor. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, says there, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God." You know. So Jesus, as we... He was made like us, as we've heard many, many times over and over, over the many, many years. And he has gone through everything that we're going through, you know. So what was his attitude as he was going through this life? Was he just overwhelmed by what the government, the oppression of the government, or the challenges in his life because of poverty, or, you know, just the issues with people? Was he overwhelmed or discouraged? Or was, you know, how did he live his life? And what was his purpose as he was pressing forward? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, 1 Peter 2:21, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2:21, we see that Jesus came to this earth to show us an example. He showed us how we should live while we're on this earth. As Christians, we've been taken out of the world. We have been made new creations. Our sins have been washed away. We have His Spirit, as Brother Jared talked about, the temple. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know? So, Jesus coming like us is to, he showed us how, what our purpose should be as Christians. You know, what was Jesus' purpose as he came, you know, as he was going through this life? In Mark chapter 10, 42 to 45, he said, talks about that he didn't come to be served, but to serve others. You know, serve others. What was the, you know, he healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, you know, the deaf heard. He did a lot of miracles. He fed thousands and thousands of people. But what was his main purpose in his life? There's a lot of good things we can do. But the greatest of all, in Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, Jesus said very clearly what his purpose of being here. He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns and nearby, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also. For that is why, what I came for." And that's why he came into this world, to preach and share this message of life. So what's our purpose, guys? What's our purpose? The same. 1 Peter 2:21, it is the same exact thing. Our job, our from our heart, is to share that great and glorious message. And that God has given us a spirit so that we can overcome, if we're shy, to become bold as a lion. That's why God has given us his spirit. To be able to get out there and talk to people and become the people that who are in the image of Christ, who's taken on his character. You know, we can be compassionate because Christ dwells in us now. We can be forgiving because Christ dwells in us. You know, when I was a young man, I had a used van that I used to use for my business, and went to the DMV in New York City and got personalized plates. You know, guess what I put on those personalized plates? Mark 16:15. So every time I got up and went out my door, and that's the first thing I saw. Mark 16:15. That's my purpose. That's my purpose as I'm doing my business in New York. I ran several catering business. We had restaurants and we designed weddings and functions for conventions and conferences all across the Eastern U.S. But my main purpose when meeting with clients or when I'm going to the cash and carry where I bought a lot of the merchandise or went to the Bronx Hunts Point Market, which was quite crazy out there, was to share the gospel, to share Christ, to build friendships for the purpose of sharing so they may know Christ. It wasn't to expand my business and get more and more and more, but no, the purpose was to get the gospel across. You know, as a young man, I remember before started studying the scriptures, and I was all into adventure. You know, I did some bungee jumping and glacier ice climbing and the next adventure, you know, the next big adventure, you know, climbed Mount Zermatt, you know, in Switzerland and did this and hiking and biking and you name it. You know, but never satisfied. After a while, it's like, what's next? Okay, I did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. Okay, what's next? I can tell you the greatest adventure you could ever have is sitting and studying the scriptures with someone. I remember going on college campuses, St. John's University, Fordham University, NYU in New York City, and meeting young people. I had already graduated, put on a backpack, and I tell, you know, hire somebody else to take my position with my own business and to do my job so I can have more time to evangelize, to do Bible studies with people. Wandering around the campus, and asking for Bible studies, making cold turkey contacts and just building friendships. And people tell me all sorts of interesting things. I'm a Satanist, or I'm this, I'm that. Get away from me. They would spit and they would try to punch me or, you know, get away. But there's other guys who would come and say, hey, I'm glad you came. I've been having a lot of questions. And finding that gem and finding that individual that really sincerely looking for truth. Their life is miserable and they're looking for some hope. I think all of you can relate to that. Somebody came to you, right? Can you relate to that? Somebody came to you. An individual with flesh and blood came to you. So that's why you're here today. Can we do that for someone else? Is it hard? No, it isn't. It's simple. It is very simple. You know, there's nothing greater than getting out the door and finding someone. That could be your neighbor. It could be the grocery store clerk, the gas station attendant, you know? Whatever. Don't pay by credit card. Go inside and use the credit card. Go find some way you can engage in the lives of someone else. You know? That's what Jesus' purpose was. As Mark chapter 1 verse 38, we said, let us go somewhere else to the towns and nearby, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there, for that is what I came for. I was about to drink this, so I'm glad I didn't do that. I was like, oh, that must be a water bottle. I'm seeing things. Oh, okay. See, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. What does that say there? Why did Jesus come? To take away our sins? Is that it? Jesus came not only to take our sins away, but the scripture in 5 verse 8 says to demonstrate. He demonstrated what love is, what forgiveness is, compassion. He came not to make money, to build a house on the hill or white picket fence, golden retriever. You know, that's what I thought the life was, you know, get a house in Long Island somewhere. You know, but no, Jesus came to share the gospel, get the word, bring hope to the dying. That's what we are called to do. Brethren, that's what it's all about, and you gotta love it. You gotta love being in Christ, or else you won't make it. You will find every single excuse not to do the work, the will of God. Gotta love truth. Right? If you love God, you love those souls. You love the souls of your brothers and sisters. You will forgive. Put aside the silliness. Forgive. Let it go. Encourage. Build up the body of Christ. Reach out to those who are slipping away. Go after them. Seek and save the lost. Right? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Hebrews 12, 3. Hebrews is such a great book. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And found, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance. God is so good. I love being in Christ. It is such a joy to be in Christ, to live for Him. It is an incredible adventure. The greatest adventure. You know, to be the bringers of truth and life into the lives of those who are in despair. Right? See, that's what we have guys who have gone before us who have endured so much. They've gone through so much to encourage us. We read about Noah. Wow. Hammer, hammer. Saw, saw. Hammer, hammer. Saw, saw. Oh, where's my hammer? Where did my hammer go? I gotta get my hammer out. Yes. Hammer, hammer. Saw, saw. I got to get a saw now. Hammer, hammer. Saw, saw. That's what he did. Over and over every single day. God said, good job, Noah. Good job. Good and faithful servant. Enter in. Hammer, hammer. Saw, saw with his family. Over and over. The repetitious work every single day. Right? Jesus, fixing our eyes. Where should our attention be, guys? Fixing our eyes on who? CNN, Fox. Where should our attention be on social media and what's going on in this world? No, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the what?
Joy.
I love that word. Joy. He had joy. For the joy set before him, endured the cross. It wasn't a burden. Carrying your brother's burdens, carrying, you know, thinking about others is not a burden. It's not like, it's a joy. Thinking about your brothers and sisters and your sons and daughters and your spouse. Because if you love them, if you truly, truly love them, you will think about their eternity. You will do everything that will help direct them towards eternity with the Lord. See, fix your eyes on the author and perfecter. Despising the shame, and he has sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus has set the example. He didn't grow weary. He was made like us, flesh and blood. You know, he got tired. He got hungry. He was like us, but he did not give up. When they spit on him, when they pulled his beard, when they, you know, punched him, they put those nails through his wrist. The Lord's Supper is a fantastic reminder of what our Lord has done for us and how we can also endure with joy. We can step forward in faith. See, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, you know, we the story of Stephen, the first martyr. You know, he preaches a great message to the Pharisees, and they don't like what's being preached. They get really upset and angry at him. What do? Verse 54, now when they heard this, they were all cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven. As they're stoning Stephen, what's going on? Gazing into heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus is what? Standing. It's like a standing ovation. Good job, Stephen. Good job. He's persevering in doing the will of God. You know, sometimes in the world you want the applause of men, the accolades of all those, you know, maybe your friends or family or your co-workers. But what Stephen focuses his attention on? What's his focus on? On pleasing who? The King. His dad in heaven, right? Jesus is giving him a standing ovation. That's how I see it, you know? Just like, good job. That's what we want. We want that. We want to be pleasers of God. Doing what's right in the eyes of God all the time. See, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, you know, Paul talks about how he was, you know, therefore we do not get discouraged. We don't give up, right? Paul had a lot of things he could talk about that discouraged him, right? In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. See, Paul is not discouraged. He's not letting the stuff that's around him beat him down. He keeps pressing forward. What's his focus? Does he, you know, is he focused on the beatings? Is he focused on being in jail? You know, but he's focused, what we see from the scriptures, about getting the word to the next town. Just like Jesus. Getting to the next town. The new cities and new towns. It's about the souls of men. But, you know, today is prayer and fasting day. That's a great thing you guys are doing. That's awesome. For lost souls and helping share to get the gospel out. And that's what this is all about. God wants our focus and our attention to be focused on the things of the kingdom. The reward is much greater. Paul realizes that. He's not focused on, the pain and suffering that he has to go through. But he realized, if I can reach out, get out there to that new town, maybe there's one person that might want to, you know, I can bring this life-giving message to. You know, there we have, you know, there is a lot of Pfizer and all these guys out there is offering all sorts of vaccines, right? But what's the greatest vaccine we have? What is it? I didn't hear you guys. The blood of Christ. That's the greatest vaccine, right? If we care about people's soul, we would get the message out about the blood of Christ and to get people to think about their eternity. Pfizer and all the other guys, the companies out there, they don't care. We care. We love souls. We love people's eternity. You can get those vaccines, but you're still going to die. If it's not today, it might be tomorrow or next year or sometime down the line. But the blood of Christ makes you sons and daughters of God. We have the antidote to life's problems. We are the ones God has called to bring. We are the emissaries to bring this life-giving message to the world around us. We have to truly love being in Christ to make this happen. Get fired up, like I was talking about this morning. Get fired up. Get your family fired up. You know? Get excited about the Lord. If you're not excited, ask yourself why. Why aren't you excited? You know? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the word. Are you hearing God's word throughout the week? Not just Sunday morning. How about Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? You got to get lots of it. God's word is like rocket fuel. You know, rocket fuel. So we can have transcending faith to rise above this world, to see the world from heaven's perspective. We need lots of it to grow in our faith, to make godly decisions for our for our children, for our spouse, for our family, for every aspect of our life. You want the courage? It's there. God's word has given it. You know, John 16:33 talks about it. Take it. God's willing to give you more and more. It's right there. But we got to go for it. We got to prioritize the things of the kingdom. Got to put aside the things of this world, right? And God's word is there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Conviction, you know, you want conviction, you want the assurance of things hoped for, it's there. You can have that conviction that comes from the word. And it's, you know, that's what Jesus had. He had the conviction because he examined the scriptures. He saw himself as a savior, right? And that he knew from the scriptures that he would rise from the dead and be seated in glory. See, it doesn't matter what's going on, who rules this world or what's happening out there. The only thing that matters is what Jesus thinks. You know, who Jesus is and his promises to us. See, all the other things are, it's light and momentary. As we looked at Matt Hartford and other guys, they preached some fantastic messages or during family camp. They talked about the first century Christians and how they were impaled and lit on fire in Nero's summer garden. And those who were alive, they kept speaking the word of God to those who would listen. They kept going. If you saw your friends and family members being lit on fire, what would you do? You know, these first century Christians, without having the completed word of God in their possession, they kept going forward. See, this is a wonderful time in history. This is a great time to move forward with the gospel. There is nothing that the world could do to these people in the first century. They kept pressing forward. And we are the people today to make that difference. We're it. See, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, you know, Solomon built a beautiful house for the Lord, a physical house, and God's glory came in. But that was too cheap. It was about $250 billion. But Nothing compared to what we have. We are the temple, as Jared was talking. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. He's with you everywhere you go. You know, there's, you know, God doesn't care about the gold or the diamonds or all the stuff. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, it says, and 1 Corinthians 3, 16 talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the creator of the universe, the star breather, the planet maker dwelling in you. See, so that we can get this gospel through our transformed lives, we are representing Christ to the world around us. See, He's done 99.999% of the work, but we have, God calls us to get into the Word and, you know, put on Christ just by, we get more and more wisdom by reading His Word and you know, just talking to people. Simple things, right? Can we read the Word? Yes, we can. That's how God gives us, changes our character, by reading the Word, then putting it into practice, by talking to people. You know, getting out there and doing good deeds for your neighbor. Maybe your neighbor's, you know, checking on them. Knock, knock. Hey, neighbor, do you need any help? Do you need anything from the grocery store? Are you guys okay? Any prayers? You know, we've been trying that in India. And it's been good. We get to build strong relationships with our neighbors and go around our neighborhood seeking if anybody needs anything. See, praying, you know, prayer, doing good deeds, talking to people. These are simple stuff. We do it every single day. God can do miraculous things in our individual lives by doing those simple things every single day from your heart. You know, as Romans 12, as Jerry was talking about, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, that's, we got to get good stuff into our minds. That's the only way. What you do to your mind will show up in your character. What you do, what you fill your mind with. What we feed ourselves is who we become. All right? You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh within himself, he is." So what we watch, it changes our character, doesn't it? It creates anxiety and fear. If I watch a lot of the news, you know, a lot of homes I go to in India, they have the television blaring from morning till evening until they go to bed. It's on. So it's all pretty much negative. There's no hope. So if I feed myself with all of that stuff that media is putting out there, it is not going to help my character. It's not going to help me to be enthusiastic, be source of hope and encouragement. See, if I play video games, I've heard Luke talk about, you know, young people spending about 21, you know, about, what is it, 10,000 hours playing video games. You know, some of those video games are pretty, it messes with your mind. So we need to fill ourselves with the things of the Spirit so we can make the right decisions and glorify God. See, so we live in a world full of, you know, confusion and doubt, and we live in a country, especially in Asia, a country with over the Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, billions. And you know, you're talking about billions of people, over 45,000 denominations under the heading of Christianity. Do they follow the Bible? They take bits and pieces of the Scripture. Some people say, hey, if you don't want to, you can just invite Jesus into your heart. Is that truth? Is that what the Bible says? In Acts 2:38 says, "Be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Some people say, you won't die, you won't go to hell, you'll just cease to exist. Is that what the Bible says? Jesus says, "Where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." In Luke 16:19-31. See, we got to be people of the Word. We need to direct people out there who are lost to the Scriptures, because souls out there will live or die based on doctrine. Doctrine is important. You know, getting back to the Word. See, the Scriptures are so straightforward. In today's society, it's all about how you feel. Disney and all the other shows out there are promoting, follow your heart. Do whatever you feel. Go ahead. You know, whatever you feel. You know, so often people say, tell me, "Hey, I feel like I'm saved." Really? That's not what the Scripture says. In John 12:48, the Word of God that will judge you on the last day. Help. We need to help people. Hey, let's look at the scriptures. Let's prove that the Bible is God's word, and then look at what God says, how we can be part of his family. See, is that important? Yes, it is. There are Islam. There's 1.9 billion Muslims. Over a billion Hindus. They have over 330 million gods and goddesses. Do they need to hear the truth? How about, atheists and, the Buddhists? So, we are blessed, brethren, with this wonderful message of hope. And we get to be his emissaries to bring that message to those around us. As Brother Jared had picked up my little goggle things, God's word is exciting. When you put on, when you read God's word, it brings, whoa! It's like amazing. It takes you a whole different world. It's like, wow. Psychedelic, dude. Cool. But it's amazing what God's word does, doesn't it? It helps you to see the world in a different light. It's like, wow, I never saw that. I used to do that. I was okay with lying. I was okay with cursing. But now it's disgusting. I don't want to watch those movies. I remember I was telling my kids, like, hey, this movie is from my childhood, from the 80s. Oh, it's a great movie. And let's watch it. And we put it on. It's like, ugh. Okay, let's turn that off. What was I thinking? And I was like, oh, it's a fun movie. We have all those things. But, because of God's word, looking at the scriptures, God has set us free, right? He has set us free. I'm already free, see? Got to put it back together again, see? So, God has set us free from the bondage we were in, right? We're set free. What a wonderful blessing to have this hope. Let's bring that to others out there today and every day. Please keep us and our family in your prayers as we take this great and glorious message to the people there in Asia. We're excited to be there. Little challenges. It's been a challenge to cross that ocean and come over here. But the Lord has taken care of us and he continues to do that. So we will continue to pray for you all. Thank you for the wonderful hospitality that we've been blessed with. And you guys are a blessing and a great encouragement to us. So keep up the fire. Keep up sharing that message to those all around. Thank you.